Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's
go, man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience.
There's a lot of that.
This morning, the U.S. Women's National Team being serenaded in the Canyon of Heroes, getting a ticker tape parade in New York City. So we will talk to someone on the ground, boots on the ground this morning from the parade route. Peter Haskell from 880 WCBS News Radio in New York will join us coming up in approximately 17 minutes from now to give us the scene setter as the Americans win their second straight Women's World Cup. So the All-Star Game was cool. I kind of think the All-Star Game's always cool. I kind of think that the baseball All-Star Game's always kind of cool. There's something about it. Look, I love the summer. I'd like to just take the summer and bottle it up and put it in some type of little jar so that I can't ever lose it, because when you grow up in a northern climate and it's miserable and snowy and icy and awful for 6 months of the year, and you're shoveling, and it's icing, and you're fighting icy traffic and snowy roadways, and it's just awful. And so the summer, when you're on vacation, or the kids are out of school, or you're a kid and you're out of school, it's just so special and so perfect. And the All-Star Game is that. There's nothing else going on in people's lives in terms of sports. Work and school kind of on the back burner during these days, these weeks, the dog days of summer. And the All-Star Game, with everybody wearing their own uniforms and the very best of baseball, hitting home runs and throwing strikeouts and turning double plays, there's just something beautiful about the All-Star Game. It just always will be. It's outdoors almost always, on grass. There's just still something that's pretty cool about it. And the CC Sabathia thing yesterday could have been really perfect. I mean, think about how this lined up. CC Sabathia, who is going to retire after the season, after a decorated and awesome career in Major League Baseball, played his first 7.5 seasons in Cleveland. And the All-Star Game is in Cleveland. So here is CC being able to be serenaded by the fans that watched him grow up, and he was an all-time great Indian, for a final time of the All-Star Game. And this was a really good idea. This was a really serendipitous, cool idea by baseball. CC's retiring. Let's get him back out on the field at the stadium that he began his career for one last salute for a national audience. Because who knows what CC's role is with the Yankees moving forward. End of the season, if the Yankees make the playoffs, if they don't, they probably will. If they make the World Series, who knows? You just never know. And of course, that's not the time to be serenading all-time great players, because there's a world championship on the line. So this is perfect. They decide, okay, we're going to have him throw out the first pitch of the game, throw out the ceremonial first pitch to Sandy Alomar, who, by the way, was the 97 All-Star Game MVP at that ballpark. 22 years ago, Sandy Alomar is the MVP of the All-Star game, and he caught CC when CC's coming up with the Indians. So this is perfect. By the way, Sandy Alomar looks like he's 35 years old. I mean, he's been retired for how long now? The guy looks absolutely amazing. First pitch, everybody goes crazy. This is cool. This is a moment. This is great. But number one, Fox doesn't show the pitch live. So this is now on tape. Oh, this happened before. Look at how cool this was before. Okay, that's kind of weird. At least the ballpark got the moment, but 99.9% of the audience sees this on tape delay. Okay, that's kind of weird. They then have CeCe give a pep talk to the American League. All right. I mean, this is a moment for the guys in the locker room. It's a personal moment for CeCe. He's been a great ambassador for baseball. Everybody seems to love him, a great clubhouse guy. I mean, every teammate ever has loved CeCe Sabathia. Okay. But again, not really a moment for the people at home to honor one of the greats. And CeCe admits he was nervous. It was a terrible speech. He says he didn't know what to say, and he called it, quote, really terrible. It did work, he said, but it was terrible. And he said it worked because we won. Okay, so now CeCe Sabathia has had a tape delay first pitch and, admittedly, a terrible pregame speech. So there's one moment now where a live audience, millions of people on TV, are going to get to see CeCe in his old ballpark say farewell. Two outs, top nine, Aroldis Chapman on the hill, and Alex Cora sends out CeCe Sabathia to talk to Aroldis Chapman? And then CeCe walks off the field to a standing ovation, which is cool. But then CeCe would admit later, I was really nervous because what happens if Aroldis Chapman gives up a hit after that? Then I've ruined everything. Like, they set this thing up to be a disaster. Why, with two outs in the ninth, are you then sending CeCe out for pitching advice? What's he supposed to say to Aroldis Chapman, who just buzzed the first two batters? Keep doing what you're doing. You look really good out here, man. Okay, I'm going to now turn around and walk back and get the ovation. Riddle me this, Mraz. Why is CeCe Sabathia not coming out before the ninth inning and having a moment there before, like, as Aroldis Chapman warms up? Here is CeCe at the mound or coming out and saying something quick to the crowd. Why is CeCe not leading off the game before the first inning? After the first pitch, carried live by Fox, he takes the mic and thanks baseball for his great career. Why are we not having a more, I don't know, authentic moment or just something that's more reasonable?
Look, let's just call it as baseball half-assed this last night. Everybody wanted to talk about what a cool moment it was, when in reality, you got to do one or two things. Either you're honoring the guy and you go fully in and do the right thing, or just you don't have to honor CeCe Sabathia either. He's not Ted Williams.
That's fair.
Like, and I love CeCe Sabathia, and he's a Yankee, and he's going to go to a Hall of Fame, and he's a world champion and all of that, but you don't have to just because this is last year, honor him. But if you are, look, this game doesn't count anymore. The NBA added extra roster spots on each team in their All-Star game for Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. Two legends, right? Clearly not having the great seasons where they deserve the All-Star spots, but you know what? The NBA added a roster spot. If you wanted to honor CeCe Sabathia, is it that big a deal if you put one more roster spot in the American League this year for CeCe Sabathia? Say the All-Star game's in Cleveland, let's have him on the team. And then you could do one of two things. You could have him out there when he gets introduced with the rest of the team, tipping his hat, maybe he never gets in the game. Or maybe you start the ninth inning or another inning where he comes out. And if you want to worry about him taking up time for another All-Star more deserving, how about he faces one batter? Comes out, pitches to one batter, leaves the game, tips his cap on the way out, and that's the end of it. Why does he have to come for a... If you're not even going to show the first pitch of TV, who cares? And then you're going to force feed a moment in the ninth where he's doing a fake mound visit that's
with
so corny?
Two outs in the ninth?
Not, I'm what laying there, DA, and I know it's getting... I got to go to bed! And what? I'm a Yankee fan. I don't need him out there.
What happens if Chapman then gives up, like, a single, a double,
right?
And loses the game?
It's a one-run game at that point.
And it's because... CC went out there and broke his rhythm.
It's a joke. If you wanted to honor him, just put him on the team and don't give me the nonsense that he would be taking a spot from somebody more deserving. Just create an extra roster spot. I mean, for years, we had the vote for the extra guy thing, right? We didn't even do that this year. Just put him on the team. And if the American League has one more guy than the National League, who cares? It's an all-star exhibition. The game doesn't count. Why did you pretend you wanted to honor him and then just didn't really?
Or I think that was a good point you hit on. You can put him on the team in an honorary spot just so he gets the last ovation. Okay,
right.
So you introduce him last after all of the All-Stars, and so he gets that moment, he gets the ovation, walks off, he's with the team. That's the way to do it. Like, if he doesn't belong being an All-Star, I don't know if I need to see him in the game. Like, what happens if he gives up a home run?
Why is he in uniform yesterday then? He's in uniform as if he's on the team, but he's not really on the team. At that point, just have him in jeans and the All-Star windbreaker with a Yankee hat going, I'm here. But they treated him as a current player, which he is, but not worthy enough of an All-Star, but still belongs with the guy. Like, they just didn't do it right at all. It was a stupid moment.
Well, the play is also, if it's going to be like Wade and Dirk, and this is where the NBA really nails it. Like, they make them part of everything and weave them in and have them get on a microphone or something like that. Isn't CC addressing the crowd for 30 seconds to a minute, just thanking everybody for his career and what a wonderful ride that it's been? Isn't that the moment that you would wait for last night? Like, I don't think you want to see him on the field. I think you want to hear him say something.
Right. And they do so much good work in between innings and all of that. Like, at some point, I'm assuming last night, the Indians probably played the hat game where they put the ball underneath the hat on the screen and everybody's, ooh, it's the left one. No, it's the right one. Could we have eliminated that on All-Star night and maybe in between innings brought that out? And then when Buck and Smoltz come back, go, very nice moment you missed in between games. CC Sabathia grabbed the mic. Thanked everybody for career. And
but I want to hear
that
on TV.
Okay.
I want that televised.
Oh, so you can televise it. Obviously, they clearly could do that. They did a great moment. We mentioned with Mo with the stand up for cancer. So they're
yes.
willing to go in between innings and show nice moments.
Yes.
Just show them do that.
Unless Stand Up for Cancer was sponsored. Maybe that's why they had to get that in there.
Okay. But like, I mean, is baseball making enough money? We know the All-Star game's been there for 3 days.
I totally agree.
You're taking the time to honor him. Just do it right. That would have been good, or having him on the team would have been good. What they did was stupid. It was so stupid. It was a waste of time and it made no sense.
Well, and you have a new pitcher every inning. So just while the new pitcher's warming up, inevitably, just have CC out there saying 60 seconds of a thank you about his career.
Right. That's or again, DA, it's an exhibition. Can he face a batter? It's not as if he's not capable. He is playing baseball this year on the best team in the American League. But let him face a batter. I mean, can Masahiro Tanaka pitch the second inning? He's CC's teammate. I'm sure Masahiro Tanaka would have been willing to face two batters as opposed to three if you went to him and said, you know, hey, here's the deal. We're going to honor CC.
How about video montage? You know, those are always effective. Why not do a really beautiful video montage for CC coming back from a commercial break?
All right. Great. Yes. Again, another good moment. Fine.
Showed on the Jumbotron, showed on TV, and then Buck and Smoltz get to talk about CC.
And let's not lose sight of here. CC says after it was Alex Cora's idea the inning before, hey, we're in a safe situation. We're going to go to Chap.
Yeah.
You want to make a mound visit? And CC says, okay, cool. I'll make
the mound
visit. All right. So CC agree. I don't mind him. Like, them still stupid, but he's not going to say no. Alex Cora doesn't do that. When do we see CC last night? Because we didn't get the first pitch televised. So why was he there? Now it was up to Alex Cora to make the Fox wrong or right?
That's exactly right. Like, if Alex Cora doesn't make that decision, CC never actually has that moment. So it's up to the manager now to make that?
And how many people saw him with Frank Thomas and A-Rod right at 7:30 Eastern when the broadcast started? I saw it, but I'm sure nobody else did. I mean, it just made no... They fake honored a guy. It was stupid.
They
and
fake
again,
honored a guy.
And again, he's not Ted Williams. He's not Joe DiMaggio. He doesn't have to be honored. He's CC Sabathia. He'll get his time in Cooperstown, but... I mean, it's not Ripken on the way out. It's CC Sabathia. I'm not wrong.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I really like the idea of baseball using the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game, to honor a legend that's retiring. I think that's a really cool time to do it. But you got to do it better than that. You've got to figure out a better game plan.
And where do we, by the way, where do we draw the line going forward? Because are we going to do these fake celebrations with guys who announced they're retiring before
yes.
the year?
Yeah.
And how great do you have to be to earn
yes.
that?
Yeah.
Like, CeCe probably is a Hall of Famer, but people would debate that. So where is the line drawn?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand.
I don't know. I mean, that's
Sonny Gray getting that in 2 years because no, he made a couple All-Star teams?
No, it's a risk that you take. It is absolutely a risk that you take. When you start doing this, who gets it and who doesn't get it? But I would like to see this treatment for the guys like Griffey, for the guys like Pedro.
Of course.
I'd like to see the treatment for those guys. So to make a playbook out of it, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see a game plan where every year, well, the years that there are notable guys.
Yeah, well, guess what? They made the Chip Kelly 49ers playbook out of this last night.
When we come back, we'll have a live report from the U.S. Women's National Team parade down the Canyon of Heroes in New York City coming up here next. Is we'll have boots on the ground. Peter Haskell from 880 WCBS News Radio will join us from the parade route. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
Good morning, buddy. I love your show, man. I'm happy for you. I couldn't be more happy for you, man. Couldn't be more happier. I just like you in general, man. And I follow you on Twitter. I just couldn't be more happier for you, man. There's a lot of people out there that just can't accept that. People like you that give it to them. That just couldn't be more happier for you.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being so happy for me. I appreciate that very much.
Holy smokes.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that the DA show, if you ever missed anything or want to hear it again, available in podcast form. So you can go to iTunes or you can go to radio.com or other places that podcasts are available and listen to us anytime you want. Full episodes available there. This morning, the U.S. Women's National Team celebrating their second straight World Cup championship through the streets of Manhattan. And joining us from the parade route is Peter Haskell for 880 WCBS News Radio in New York. Peter, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Appreciate you joining us, Peter. Give us the scene. What does it look like? How does it feel down there?
Well, I got to tell you, I am happy for you, but I would be happier for you if you had a chance to experience this. Hundreds of thousands of people lining Lower Broadway, cheering, chanting USA, USA, rooting on the women's team. This is a uniquely New York experience. You think about hundreds of thousands, perhaps more than a million people. That is larger than most cities in this country. And they're all out as one to root on a very special team. And unlike other ticker tape parades, the crowd here is younger, a lot of teenage girls, pre-teenage girls. It is more female, it is more sober, and it is really, really enthusiastic.
Well, that's an interesting point there, because when you have a ticker tape parade in New York or pretty much anywhere else, there's a lot of people, 20-somethings, 30-somethings, even older, that are really drunk, and that is part of the whole scene. My guess is, as you were saying, a lot of families, parents with young girls, young people out there, a much more sober experience. How does that differ from other ticker tape parades you've seen?
Well, the pitch of the screaming is a little bit sharper, a little bit higher, a little bit louder.
Right.
But, you know, here's what I'm thinking. I'm looking at these young girls, many of them wearing Team USA jerseys, quite a few of them with red, white, and blue painted on their face. And I'm thinking, what did they see? And what does this scene tell them about their own potential? These are women who are not only skilled and extremely talented players, but they are bold. They are unapologetic. They scored, you know, a ton of goals. They got a football score up, and they were criticized, and they didn't back down, and they played with heart and determination, and they were fierce, and you just get the sense they have the ability to inspire a generation of not just soccer players, but young women who see what their own potential could be. And that, to me, is magic.
Peter Haskell for WCBS News Radio 880 is on the parade route today as the Women's World Cup. The Americans take home yet another World Cup and a championship. Have they spoken yet? Have the women spoken? And when will they speak at City Hall like a lot of other teams do?
So they're at City Hall right now. So the north end of the parade route, which is City Hall, still has people around. But most of the route leaving from Battery Park, which is the southern end of Manhattan, up to City Hall, sanitation crews are out. They've got the leaf blowers, the street cleaners, the brooms. So a large part of that area is being cleaned now. The team is at City Hall for the ceremony as we speak.
Were you out 4 years ago when the women had their parade?
So honestly, I was not out 4 years ago. I have covered Yankee parades and Giants parades, but not the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, I wonder how it compares to 4 years ago when there was the parade. Then, you know, as you mentioned, this team had a different personality. They were brash. They had things to say. They were, in some ways, women that acted like guys. And I think that was maybe jarring for some people. Personally, I thought it was pretty cool because these were women that were so self-confident in their ability as soccer players, first and foremost, that they just went out there and dominated the competition and knew that they would. So it's a pretty special team. I'm interested to hear how they addressed the crowd and what their message is, because throughout the entire thing, obviously, they've had things to say, whether it's social causes, about the president, what have you. They've had things to say, and I wonder if they'll do the same thing at City Hall.
You know, so a couple of things. One of the points I was trying to make earlier is that they are bold, and they are unapologetic, and they basically say, we're going to kick your butt, and we're not going to apologize for it, and maybe some people think we're running up the score, and we're not going to apologize for it. We're going to play our game. We're going to play full tilt the entire game, and if you don't like it, too bad. And the other point that I think you make, which is fair, is that, like a lot of athletes, the NFL, certainly, the NFL doesn't want its players talking politics. And the NBA is certainly different. But these women are not afraid to speak on issues that are not related to soccer. First and foremost is equal pay. And equal pay is a soccer issue for them. But it's also a societal issue. And there are a lot of women of all ages who think this team and these women, they speak for us.
Peter Haskell is on the parade route this morning as the U.S. Women's National Team being serenaded down the Canyon of Heroes and at City Hall for WCBS 880 News Radio in New York. Peter, great stuff. Enjoy the parade. Thanks so much for doing it with us.
My pleasure.
I talked about this the other day. I thought, let's take the politics out of it, because that obviously is a polarizing discussion, and based on where you sit in the political spectrum, you may hate Megan Rapinoe, you may love Megan Rapinoe, what have you. I am talking about how they handle themselves as soccer players and then celebrating. I will admit, watching them dance up 12-0 against Thailand, watching them, Alex Morgan, pantomime, tipping a cup of tea against England, watching them celebrate by chugging Bud Heavy. I mean, they got Bud Heavy bottles, and they're chugging Bud Heavy, and they're in the locker room, and they're cursing, and they're dancing, and they're gyrating. I was taken a little aback. And I said, whoa, what's going on here? And I had to be self-aware and realize, wow, the reason that this was making me wonder what's going on here in the celebration, and I was a little jarred, was because I had never seen women athletes act like guy athletes in that way. You know, watching guys dance after goals happens all the time. I wouldn't like it if the guys danced at 12-0 just like I didn't like it when they were dancing at 12-0. I think at that point in time, I mean, this is really an avalanche of goals. You're obviously much better than Thailand. I don't think you need to be goal celebrating at up 11-0, 12-0, 13-0. So that was not about gender for me. I just didn't think it was great sportsmanship. I thought it was kind of like pouring it on when you're already going to beat them by double digits. But dancing after goals is what guys do. Celebrating goals with taunting the opponent, guys do it. When the guys celebrate in a locker room, they act like idiots, they dance around, they wear goggles, they spray champagne, and they pound beers. And once they win, like J.R. Smith doesn't wear a shirt for a month, and you've got Brad Marchand for the Bruins showing up at every bar in Boston the entire summer, shirtless, taking shots on the bar. You've got celebrations like the Washington Capitals last year, drinking at public fountains in D.C. Ovechkin was hammered in the middle of the day, swimming strokes in D.C. fountains. That we just accept this as behavior for men. But when it happened with women, people said, what is going on? Why are they acting like this? I don't like to see this. Now, granted, I mentioned a lot of teams and not the national team. But I think women acting like the way guy athletes have acted was jarring for people. And we still have this box that we put women in that say, well, you need to be proper, you need to say the right thing, and you need to act a certain way because women don't do that. And I'm sorry, I'm here for breaking that convention. I'm here for breaking the convention of certain genders or certain sexes or certain ages or certain somebodies need to act a certain way. So I appreciate it. And just from a soccer standpoint, the thing I appreciated most about this team was we're effing good and we are going to deliver. They said this every step of the way. They didn't disrespect the opponent in the pregame press conferences or in the lead up. They just knew how good they were. And they were coming to take their title. And that's a very guy, very masculine thing, which we love. We adore the 85 Bears. Because the 85 Bears said, we're coming for our championship, screw you. And we will destroy everybody in our wake. We love that dominance. And they danced and they did a Super Bowl shuffle. And guess what? Years later, generations later, they're the most beloved team ever. And they called their shot. The Americans called their shot. And we didn't like it because it was women that did it. And these are supposed to be the girls next door that play soccer. We all see our Sunday soccer leagues in our little towns across America. And girls with ponytails that want to grow up to be Alex Morgan are running around kicking a soccer ball. And we love it because they're prim and they're proper and they're supposed to be the little girls next door. And then those little girls next door grew up and they were like, screw you, screw you, screw you. We're coming for it. We got it. Screw you all. And we're celebrating. We're dancing. We're cursing. And it made people go, oh my God, what happened here? I'm sorry. I love it. Forget the politics of it. Take that out of it. I just like the fact that an American team was so good in a sport that's getting better every 4 years and said, we are so good. We're calling our shots. And we're taking it in dominating fashion. And they did. And said goodbye. We're the greatest women's soccer team ever. And they delivered. And they are. That's how ridiculously talented and deep and good this team was from a sports standpoint. And it scared people. And that, to me, is going to be their legacy. Is that this was the first women's team that didn't act like women. It was a women's team that was like, screw you, screw you, screw you, screw you, screw you, screw you. Yep, we're taking our championship. We got it, and we're not going to stop drinking. We're not going to stop partying. We're not going to stop selling. They're still partying. It's been 4 days. They're still drunk.
They were drinking mimosas on the floats this morning. And that's the thing that bothers me is there's literally nothing wrong with this. They're having fun as the culmination of a world championship that took, a two-plus-year cycle of qualifying and then to get through the World Cup. Why are we now regulating how they have fun?
Women. It's a women thing. Because you and I talked off air about this. If the U.S. men's national team had a Cinderella run to the World Cup and somehow beat Brazil and beat Italy and beat Germany, we would expect them to be drunk and be celebratory and wear no clothes for, I don't know, the next 4 years.
They could have marauded through wherever that World Cup was and, like, pillaged the village, and we would have been, America.
I mean, imagine if our boys' team, our men's team, won the World Cup. What that would have been the miracle on ice on soccer, and it would have been
in 2019 or 2018. Pick
social
your year.
Media, dancing, naked, drunk,
and it would all been okay.
And we would have cheered it. Those guys would have been heroes, national civic icons. And because it was women, we said, "No, you can't do that. That's not right. You should be better sports than that." And I kind of like that they're just shattering that glass. When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut in your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
I got to tell you, that Damon Amendola runs a tight ship. Those guys are checking with him before, like, I had to interrupt a meeting, high level Damon Amendola meeting.
They listening, DA.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
All DA show meetings. Our high-level DA show meetings. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that the DA show is available on YouTube, the best of clips every single day. Just check them out on YouTube. Search the DA show, search CBS Sports Radio, and you can watch the DA show in its video form every single day. It's time for our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. A couple of tweets coming in about the segment we just did on the U.S. Women's National Team celebrating today, being celebrated in a ceremony at City Hall in downtown New York and getting the parade. Rob tweets, weren't the U.S. women the World Cup favorites? Top one or two, that's for certain. Happy for these girls, have no problem with the way they celebrated, but why are we acting as if what they did was some sort of spectacular achievement? Well, I think winning the World Cup, whether you're a favorite or not, is pretty significant. You know, if Brazil goes into a World Cup and wins it, if Germany goes into a World Cup and wins it on the men's side, it's not like people yawn and go, ho-hum, no big deal, they were the favorites anyway. So on the flip side, I don't think anybody should yawn at winning the World Cup from the women's side of things. Dan tweets, did you say take the politics out of it? Really? The women's soccer team made it all about politics. Quote, I'm not going to the bleeping White House. Woman, man, doesn't matter. I'm going to despise that statement no matter who says it or who is the president. Well, Dan, that's not what I was talking about. I didn't bring up their political slant. I was bringing up the celebration slant and the soccer slant. To me, those are two different discussions. And I think that whether Megan Rapinoe said this or not, this is one player on this team. Whether the entire team feels a certain way or not, the soccer itself, before Megan Rapinoe ever said that, turned people off because they were celebrating against Thailand up 11-0, 12-0, 13-0. The criticism of this team happened well before Megan Rapinoe and Donald Trump got into it with one another. Secondly, when they celebrated their World Cup championship in that locker room, it had nothing to do with politics. That was just the way they were celebrating. And that scene, whether you stood with or against them in terms of where they stand with the White House as a team, as individuals, what have you, turned people off because it was women who were chugging beers and cursing and dancing and twerking, and people said that's not the way you should celebrate. And since they have won, they have been very public about drinking. They have had mimosas. They have had cups of beer. They have had beer glasses. You know, they've done things that women athletes have just never done. So that's why I said take that part out of it, because that's a totally different discussion. I'm talking about the way they comported themselves on the soccer field. People had a problem with Alex Morgan tipping the tea glass when they beat England. That is part of a conversation that I think is really interesting culturally. And I think it's interesting because we have in our society a set of rules that we have assigned to certain people, women, men. It goes back to being housewives, hunters, gatherers. It goes back to how we view politics, how we view society, how we view family, how we view young people versus old people, how we view all types of things. I think that part is interesting to dissect. And I'm not saying anybody's right or wrong. I'm saying I even had to catch myself because I saw them celebrating like J.R. Smith and Alexander Ovechkin and said, whoa. And then I said, wow, why did I have that reaction? And I realized it was just because I had never seen women do that. I had seen guys do that my entire life. Every team that's ever won a male championship has acted like they did. Every World Series, it looked like the World Series in their locker room. And we've just never seen that from female athletes. And I found that really interesting. Mike tweets in, DA, when Charlie Blackmon hit the home run last night, I said, hashtag, it clears it. And everyone looked at me really weird. A day later, and it is still very funny.
It clears it.
I'm glad you brought this up, Mike, because yesterday on the show, we were talking about the home run derby, and Mraz didn't like the ESPN broadcast of it. And he didn't like the fact that we didn't have Chris Berman anymore. Now, Mraz might be in the minority here, but he is one that truly misses Berman part of big events. He wants him calling the NFL draft, home run derby.
He should be on Football Night in America.
That random Monday night that's really weird in the middle of the night to open up the season. He wants him everywhere.
A random Wednesday night baseball game in July.
Yeah. You want him being stampeded by 49ers fans after the catch. You want all of that.
I want some picks on a Sunday morning.
You want the Swami Says.
Swami Says, be great. Best 3 minutes in television history.
So yesterday I said, well, if you could do it so much better, Mraz, big guy, smarty pants, what would be your home run call? And we got this.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Yes, Carl Ravish didn't live up to his idol, Chris Berman. So Mraz is... developed his own signature home run call.
Center field, it clears it.
And what's great is that there's so many different ways you can really utilize this home run call. You could do the center field. You can do all different parts of the field.
Center field, it clears it.
Razor goes downtown.
You can do a real hyper bird version of it clears it.
It clears it.
You could also do a slower, mature version of it clears it.
It clears it.
David John makes long gone.
You could be very monotone and just be, it clears it.
It clears it. Aaron Judge.
Or you could be,
it clears it. It clears it.
There's so many different ways to use it. And whereas I suggest maybe reaching out to a young broadcaster to say, I've developed this. You should adopt it. This will take you very far, young man.
Like a songwriter?
Maybe you could sell it.
And like a good Glaber, Torres is there.
But why can't I use it?
Because you're not a play-by-play guy.
I was. Well, I can again.
When were you?
I did D3 Hoops for SUNY Old Westbury. I was the first one ever to call games here. I did 2 seasons, the Skyline Conference.
G-Man is a He-Man.
Ever any baseball?
1 baseball game, but I was the color guy.
Okay.
So I never really get to flex my muscle.
Okay, and what qualified you to be the color analyst on this baseball broadcast?
Well, the fans thought it was a strikeout also.
Well, they were looking at the board like I was.
Well, that's their mistake.
Other than the fact that I was doing the sports at SUNY Old Westbury, not much. I did tell them I played high school baseball, even though I did not.
Oh, you lied on your resume.
I mean, why not?
It doesn't matter.
At that point, what else did they have? I just fluffed it up to make them feel better.
It clears it.
I was analyzing pitches. Deep to left. It clears it.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
And our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
It clears it.
Daniel tweets, I will never be able to see another home run without hearing a little Mraz voice in the back of my head. He cleared it!
Center field, it clears it!
Thanks, Sean. Thanks a lot. It's so bad because it sounds like a bird.
It clears it!
It clears it!
Clears it!
Clears it! Sounds like a murder of crows.
Clears it! All I know is if you gave that home run call and I was calling it, it's remembered forever and it's in Cooperstown.
It's in Cooperstown.
Yeah, that little audio part. And here is Sean Mraz, the 1936 Buffalo Braves. It clears it!
It clears it!
The Buffalo Braves were a basketball team.
So where did the Atlanta Braves come from?
They were the Milwaukee Braves.
Sure. I thought they came from a B town at some point.
Nope. Nope. There was a Boston Braves.
Okay. So,
that
all
then
right.
went to Milwaukee, I believe, and then went down to Atlanta.
So when Hank Aaron homered, it was with the Milwaukee Braves.
Incorrect. It was with the Atlanta Braves.
Oh. I thought it happened in Milwaukee.
No. No. Definitely.
Clears it.
It is only perhaps the most seminal baseball moment of all time and a huge cultural moment as well. But, I mean, why bother knowing where it happened?
I could have sworn it happened at Milwaukee's Fulton County Stadium.
It's Atlanta's Fulton County Stadium.
Are we positive there's not a Fulton County in Milwaukee?
Yeah, no, I'm positive. There was a Milwaukee County Stadium where the Brewers used to play, but there's an Atlanta Fulton County Stadium where the Braves used to play.
Okay.
You should know this by watching my Nomad when I went to go Georgia.
That's true.
For the college football game, and I went to the old side of the Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
It cleared it.
All right, that will do it for us this morning here on The DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of The DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com with the simulcast. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. How about this tomorrow? We look back at 30 years since the movie Major League with Corbin Burnson, who's going to join us here on the show. So we'll see you then. For that, everybody, be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.